she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
JP, a.k.a. Snuggles.
What up?
What up? And me, I'm Sybil. Welcome. We're here every Saturday taking your phone calls. 877-881-1053 is the number. Or you can send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. Those numbers are...
either 817 or 972, according to which side of the Trinity you live on.
Uh-huh.
234-1234, 888-234-1234, if you live out where the radio don't play. And if you live even further than that, you can always reach us at autoflex.com on your World Wide Web.
If you live out where the radio don't play, how are you listening to the show?
Well, that's the thing. That's why they have the interweb.
There we go. Later in the show, we're going to talk about bed bugs and what they have to do with cars. It's a pretty interesting story. But first, let's get into the top safety picks of this very year.
Well, every year, the NHSTA and the IIHS, I love all those government-sounding anagram kind of a things, Insurance Institute for Highway Safety puts out their safety picks of the year. And we now know that safety is one of the main considerations when people get cars. Years ago, safety didn't sell. Now, safety sells pretty well on top of everything else.
I have a couple of stories about that. Safety does sell, or if you survive your extreme experience, mm-hmm. a lot of times people want to get the same vehicle. I remember back in the 90s, I had a couple that came on the lot. And they had Polaroid pictures because we didn't have smartphones back then. So they brought Polaroid pictures. They said they wanted this Jeep Cherokee. They told me exactly what they wanted. They said it's identical to the car that they just survived a 7 rollover.
Ooh.
It rolled 7 times accident, and they were fine. The vehicle was a little bit like a roll cage. And it's true, when I would do the walk-around presentation of that vehicle, I always, you know, told people about the side impact door beams and the reinforced roof and so forth, because when you are in an SUV or anything that might roll, the roll cage
comes in handy. Did you have the Polaroid with you to show people, like the before and after?
Well, no, they brought the Polaroid.
Okay. They're not going to give up their pictures of the wreck.
That's their pictures of the,
You know, that's true. I had a Scion TC a while back, and I totaled it, and after the wreck, I got out, and all I had was a bruise on my leg. So it made me realize how safe those vehicles are, and when I was looking the next time, I tried one.
I think that's probably on the list, too. And then just yesterday, one of my clients called, and he, for the second time, has totaled a Toyota 4Runner. He's been T-boned 2 times. One person ran a light and T-boned him and totaled that car. And then yesterday, he was driving down the road, and somebody didn't yield from a side road. They just came flying out and T-boned him.
Some bad luck right there.
Right? I said, okay, he wants another one. He said, by golly, that's, you know, I don't get hurt. He said, I'm a little sore from being, you know, juggled around. But he said, I survived that, and the vehicle didn't. He said this time, though, it rolled over. It hit him so hard, it didn't roll all the way over. It just rolled over on its side. But the weight of the wheels and tires and transmission and all that, it's a four-wheel drive 4Runner, pulled it, you know, it settled right back over on its wheels. And the police officer took him around to the passenger side where the point of impact was, and said, see this right here? And these were the reinforced beams that are welded in there. He said, that's what saved you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the other car was going at a pretty good clip. And it was the same thing on the other side. It hit him on the driver's side, and he was okay.
So now he's sold on 4Runners for
he said, I want another one. Exactly the same. Well, I think this is his fourth one, but two, he didn't get to keep the duration of the lease because somebody else decided to not pay attention and drive safely. Anyway, so the top safety. That one is not on.
You're so critical. You are so critical. Well, here's the thing. They were busy.
I'm stating
they were texting. They were carrying on a great conversation. And they just happened to run the red light and smash the heck out of his car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So back to their top safety picks, because safety does sell. And you're right. The Scion TC is on the list. Small cars, Chevrolet Volt, Dodge Dart. Here's the other thing. These are the IIHS safety picks, and they're entirely different from the 5-star ratings that we're going to talk about in just a minute. But in the small cars, the Volt, the Dart, the C-Max Hybrid, the Focus, the Civic, the Kia Soul. I'm just going to jump down the list real quickly. Scion TC, Toyota Prius, Volkswagen Golf, and GTI. There's about 25 cars in that one section. Large family cars. Toyota Avalon, number one, by golly. Audi A6, Hyundai Genesis, Infiniti QX70, Mercedes E-Class. And so in the list, I'm not going to read through all these cars. There's tons. Mm-hmm. There's just tons. These are cars that have passed the IIHS crash worthiness test, and they test front, side, they test rollover, and they also test the front overlap, which is where the fender of the car hits an immovable object or two cars run together fender to fender in the front.
Those and that's corners.
The corners, and that's the ones that a lot of cars fail, is the new overlap test. In fact, they have redesigned cars to be more crash safe on that front overlap because the manufacturers all want the top ratings.
You know what they don't test? Rear end crashes.
And the reason they don't is most people aren't injured seriously from rear end impacts, at least not the people in the front. The people in the back can get smashed pretty good, but you've got a whole lot of car between you and them. If the gas tank doesn't explode, you're in pretty good shape.
So can I just say I'm riding shotgun? You're not putting me in the back.
Now, did I miss the trucks on this list, or did they not rank trucks?
Well, the trucks are rated differently, and so you're not going to see them. This is just the passenger car list that we have here, and it's still long and mm-hmm. very, very interesting. Anyone that wants to see this can go to Autoflex's Facebook page because I've got the five-star list there and all of the safety picks listed at the Facebook page from Autoflex.
And I'm sure they can go to the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's website to see anything about trucks.
Because I'm interested in the new Ford Aluminum. I want to know how that holds
up. Well, and we're going to do that story a little later in the show.
Okay, perfect.
It's out. They've got the ratings on that.
I'm going to listen then.
Be patient.
Okay, so five-star ratings. How does a car get a five-star rating? Well, first of all, one star is the lowest and five stars is the highest.
Oh.
Makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Five stars make safer cars. In the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration initiated test in 1978 to measure the level of safety of the cars being sold. And in 78, they set up a level of test. In 97, they modified those tests with side crash impacts. In 2001, they started doing the rollover tests on those cars. And so that is the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's measurement of safety of the cars. And you're going to see this on the window sticker of every car.
The number of stars.
Exactly. So if you look at a window sticker, it'll have a rating for front impact, side impact, rollover, and it'll have a star rating beside each one. By the way, if you see a little question mark instead of a star rating, that means there's some question as to the safety of that particular part of the car as far as surviving an impact.
I think, you still may get stars, but you also might get a question mark because there's something that there's a concern about. But that doesn't mean it's not a good, safe vehicle overall.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, the NHTSA is the only rating service that rates rollovers. And the ratings for rollovers there are really responsible for the overhead or the side curtain airbags that you see. That's when they started installing those. The other thing is you just need to realize how much safer cars are now than they were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. When I was a small child growing up, there were no seatbelts. So the very first cars I drove didn't have seat belts.
Not even a lap belt?
Not even a lap belt.
Because we had lap belts. I'm so old, at least we had lap belts.
Lap belts came around mid-60s. Yeah.
Okay.
And the lap belt kept you from flying through the windshield. That was the biggest thing. It wouldn't keep you from being impaled on the horn.
Right.
But it would keep you from being flying through the windshield. And a lot of people died from being impaled on the horn.
Because I stopped at an accident where that happened.
Little horn centers, and they would just go right into your chest when you went forward into them. Yeah.
Is that when they didn't have the bottom of the car and you would just pedal with your feet, like Flintstone style?
That's funny, David. It really is.
We're taking applications for co-host. If you think you'd like to be our co-host, our moderator.
The internal injuries from hitting the steering wheel were pretty severe, so your lap belt kept you from flying all the way out of the car, but it did not keep the driver from hitting the steering wheel. And when I was in college, I stopped at an accident where the woman was unconscious, and I found out later on she didn't make it.
Mm.
Yeah, I know, right? So I know people who don't even wear their seatbelts still.
Which is crazy.
Very crazy.
Okay, first of all, and the other thing, hold your hands at 4 and 8 on the steering wheel.
It's always changed?
It's not 4-8.
Wait.
Not even 3-9, certainly not 10-2. Because when that airbag comes out, it comes out and up. And if your hand is up on top of the steering wheel, your fist will hit you in the face at about 200 miles an hour. For real.
Why don't you stop hitting yourself? Yeah.
Why can't you hold it at like 630-ish? That's
what I
like.
It's just better to keep it down around 4 or somewhere around. Well, you can hold it at the bottom.
Yeah,
4-8 is what they suggest now because of the airbag.
Okay. 12, I'm going to be done.
So anyway, the other thing is the electronic stability controls and the lane departure awareness, all of those safety equipment warnings are not included in the five-star warning, although they are mentioned usually on the window stickers, and they do certainly add greatly to safety. So that is a big consideration. The NHTSA chooses vehicles by new vehicles or vehicles that have been recently redesigned.
So it's hard to say all at once. Or a redesigned model.
Exactly.
Model. Okay.
And they haven't done anything. The last changes they made, big changes, were in 2011. They don't change anything made before 2011 as far as star ratings. But if they find something that needs to happen on a car and it's not on a car 2011 or older, I mean, or newer, they will actually change the rating on those cars and they may get a lowered rating.
So a car that got a four-star rating back in 2009, but by today's standards is not a four-star, doesn't go back and change it.
It doesn't. But if it's an 11, it does. 11 or later.
11
or
later, they're doing that.
Anyway, it's an interesting, it's really interesting how they have gone through and what tests they figured out and how they now determine what's really safe on a car and how important it is to people, because highway deaths are down. They're down further than they have been since the 80s, and a lot more of us are driving now. So
more people.
That means that the safety equipment that they're putting on cars is having a marked difference.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an interesting fact also. One of the biggest safety advances that has ever happened was the cash for clunkers, because it took old, unsafe cars off the road and replace them with cars with more modern safety equipment. That may have saved more lives than any other single thing that has happened in the history of the United States.
That's right.
Yeah, because it took all those cars without airbags, without SRS, without all of the safety stuff.
That's the upside. There were plenty of downside to just dealing with that whole program. A lot of dealers had
some issues.
Only if
you were a car dealer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the consumers were fine.
Because you couldn't get paid.
Oh.
Yeah, it took months and months and months. We did a bunch of them. It took a long time to get paid. Anytime you work with the government,
it just takes a long time.
Lots of red tape. Fill that out. 5 copies, please. Press hard.
We'll mail you a check in 325 days.
Okay, finally, in that same lane, now we are producing crash test dummies that are obese.
Well, keep with the times.
Because about 70%, this is crazy, of the people in the United States are at least overweight.
What was that? 78?
70% of the people in the United States are overweight.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so now they've produced Humanetics, who makes all the crash test dummies. It's a great job, by the way. They've produced a crash test dummy that weighs 273 pounds and has a body mass index of 35.
Wow.
Here's why. If you're obese, you're more than 78% more likely to be killed in a car crash, because it affects you differently. Your body sets differently. The belts fit differently. And when they have to work on you, it's a lot harder to work on somebody that is terribly overweight, mm-hmm. from the doctor's standpoint.
Well, yeah, if you're not already a very healthy candidate.
Yeah, and there's more of you to get injured.
Exactly. Well, that, and it's harder to get to parts of you.
Yeah.
So Humanetics has produced this new crash test dummy. They're testing it right now. They say they'll go on sale in 2015. How much does a crash test dummy cost?
$4.
Oh.
Half a million.
Really? That's your one and only guess? $4.
Half a million bucks. They pay
half a million dollars
for it, but they last forever. So if this obese dummy is, you know, if they buy it, they've got him forever. Now, the downside is if everyone loses weight, he's useless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think we're safe.
I wonder if in different countries they use different sizes.
You know, we have used the same dummy. Or dummies. They have a small adult and a large adult dummy, and then they have a child dummy. And the average weight for the large adult dummy is 167 pounds. So that's
it was time to.
That was a long time ago when they did that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was created back in the 80s. And these dummies aren't just dummies. they have all kinds of sensors, and they plug in.
Right.
They can see different impact
their
points.
Computers.
And they measure G-forces and that kind of thing. So for $500,000, you can get your own fat dummy.
Apparently. Let's get one and sit him in the studio. He could be the new co-host.
If you want to see, if you want to see one of the new fat dummies, go to the Facebook page. You'll see the story there with a picture of the dummy.
There we go. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard. She's singing into the mic like she's doing karaoke. JP the Snuggle Monster and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. And right now we're actually wanting to talk to people who have questions about financing, or if you wonder about credit. A lot of people, when you're buying a car or you're trying to lease a new car, you think, I don't know if my credit's going to work. We're here to answer your questions. Sales taxes, if you're worried about that, feel free to give us a shout. And as always, you can send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. What are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234. Out of the area, autoflex.com, where you can see the Save Money Monday cars if you would like. If you go to the manager specials, you'll see the cars that we're going to sell on Monday at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Right before they go to auction.
One of our Autoflex Leasing fan texters asks the question, do y'all flex buy trucks?
Yes.
Hmm.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can flex buy any vehicle within 3 years old, and it's a combination of a lease and a purchase. The title stays in your name, but it's got a residual value, which means at the end, if you want to buy it, you can, but you can walk away. Mm-hmm. And the payments are going to be a great deal less.
And we also have the pre-owned lease available, so we generally will compare which financing program is best for you, which one will save you the most money, and which one fits your needs the best. You know, some people should just purchase, you know, based on their driving habits and how long they keep it. And then other people that want to trade more often, the lease or the flex buy is the way to save money and not commit yourself. You know, for example, Bob has no problem. There's full gap coverage. Should that accident have been his fault, then he wouldn't have to worry about any negative that he might owe. You know, sometimes you owe more than the car's worth. And if you're not building equity in a lease, it works like that, but you don't have to worry about it with those.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
So the latest thing with registration and inspection stickers is going to minimize that clutter on your windshield.
It is, because it's called Two Steps, One Sticker. It's from the state of Texas. And I thought we'd cover this because it's going to affect everyone that drives a car. As of March the 1st, 2015, your vehicle will no longer be issued an inspection sticker, and your registration sticker will serve as combined proof of both registration and inspection. So you won't have a safety inspection sticker, but you'll still have a registration sticker. And here's how it works. From March the 1st, 2015, through February 29th, 2016, you may renew your registration if your vehicle has a current passing inspection. Now, here's how they know. It's on computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So past that, if your inspection and registration are both due to expire the same month, your vehicle will need to pass inspection prior to renewing your registration. Again, when you go in to renew your registration, if you don't have a current inspection, they're going to tell you and you got to go get one. Now, that's pretty simple, right? To renew your annual registration, you can actually do it online if you would like, or by mail, or in person at your county tax office. When you go in to renew, they're going to tell you whether or not your inspection is current. If it's current, they're just going to renew your registration. If it's not current, they're going to tell you to go out and get a registration. You'll get something called a VIR, a vehicle inspection report. You take that back to the registration people, or you email it in, or you do whatever you do with that as far as the registration, and they'll issue a new registration sticker. So you're right. There'll be less clutter on the windshield. Oh, and you pay for the inspection at the inspection station and the registration to the state of Texas.
Just like you do now.
Yeah, just like you do now.
And they're just eliminating a sticker.
Now, here's the thing.
And they're making sure that you have it in order to register,
The car. Here's the thing. It was really hard to see the dates on the inspection stickers, so it was really hard to enforce that, especially when people are driving 60 by you.
Right.
So this way, if you've got a current registration sticker, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then they know your inspection's out of date.
Yeah.
Aha!
And it'll keep the OCD people like me happy where the two numbers won't mismatch. That drives me bananas.
Like if one
is like April and one September, I'm like, come on, man.
Okay.
Get with it.
Now, and here's just my suggestion. When you're reading through the state's instructions on this, and by the way, this is posted on Autoflex's Facebook page. When you're reading through it, stop where I stopped. Because if you keep reading and you get down into bureaucrats love to write.
Uh-huh.
And they have made it sounds so complicated. If you start into the next few, it's crazy.
Not.
It's not. It's not complicated.
So
it's easy.
If you want to follow along, go to autoflex.com, click the Facebook page, and you can see all the stories we talk about. And go no further than that. Okay, I asked the question about the new Ford F-150 aluminum bodies and whether or not they hold up in a wreck. So they have their crash test ratings out.
Speaking of wrecks and airbags and things, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Hold the steering wheel with your knees like I do, and you won't have to worry about punching yourself. There you have it.
But you can knee yourself.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. The new F-150, the aluminum F-150, one of the big knocks that the competitors tried to put on it was that it would not be as safe because the vehicle was made of aluminum rather than steel. And steel is tougher than aluminum. Well, guess what? The new F-150 got a 5-star rating on frontal and side impact ratings, the highest rating possible. In fact, the 2014 only had a 4-star rating on the front end. Now the 15 has a 5-star rating from front end impact. Why? Because they glue the panels together, and it holds stronger than the steel held. The panels actually tear before the joints tear. The other thing is they did something called an octagonal front end, and they made a front end instead of just a squared-off frame area. They made a front end that has corners and edges, and they found out it was a great deal safer. And the way they found out was they ran this car through a number of tests on computer, wrecking the car on the computer, showing the forces. And that's how they designed it to be safer. They did it all on computer. Then they built the first few trucks, and they crashed them to see if they were right. And in fact, they were.
I want that video game. That sounds fun, wrecking cars.
I'm going to guess that's really expensive.
Probably. Well, you know, I hope everybody the reason I think the safety of a vehicle is so important is because I have just discovered, well, I haven't just discovered, but it's been a long time that I've dealt with this. I feel like in Dallas, and I don't know if it's really this way in other places, but or in Texas, that a red light is more like a suggestion and a green light is a dare, because people run them all the time. I see it happen constantly.
Really?
I'm sitting at the red light. My light turns green, but I don't just go because there's two or three more cars that are turning left in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are you doing?
I feel like a yellow light is a dare.
Ever been to L.A.?
Well, yeah. Yes.
In L.A., there's no left turn lines.
How do they do it?
Everyone, three cars go through when the light turns. Everyone does it. Three, it's the rule. Three cars go through. There's no left turn lanes in
L.A. Not the rule.
That's how they do it there. I'm just saying.
Anyway, I just wish people would stop and not keep running the lights because it's, you know.
But haven't you ever, if you're sitting at a light and it's particularly long and it's gone green three times and you're still stuck there, if you're that last car when it's yellow, and then don't you just gun it so you can make it before it's red?
Yellow means speed up. I
saw
that in Starman.
Okay,
yeah.
That's different. That's different. My light is green, and these cars are still going in front of me, which means there's no yellow in the picture.
Yeah.
Because I know that now both lights are
you
red
set her off.
For a brief
you
period.
You set her off.
I kind of yelled, didn't I? I get a little passionate about that. Don't run the lights, people.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
To the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, JP the Snuggle Monster, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text 43733. And you can and should call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. Maybe go to AutoFlex.com if you want to get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in. How about that? That's a cool deal.
Yeah.
Or you can set up a lease online, apply for credit. Or you can really do pretty well the whole thing online if you would like. And then we'll bring your car to you. That's unique.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I've had two cars through AutoFlex, and the process always takes like maybe 30 minutes over the phone for the actual credit application. And then if I want to test drive, which I do, you know, a few minutes for that. But then the delivery, I've told the story. They delivered it to me right here in the commercial break. So it took like 5 minutes.
If the process were different, people wouldn't dread shopping for cars. But the process has been the same since the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe the only thing in the world that hasn't changed since the 50s. And for some reason, they hold on to this process. They think that you have to either buy or you're dead.
Buy or die. Buy or die.
And that means they don't let you leave. Mm-hmm. They want to keep you there until they can sell you. And it's sort of crazy because you don't have to do that. Most people don't like it. I think that's why we have businesses, because people don't want to go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are other places, there are beginning to be places where that process is no longer used. They're starting to mimic what we do, which is you call, you deal with one person, he takes care of the whole thing. If you want to come in, that's fine. If you want to test drive a car and you don't want to come in, we'll bring it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to keep the process so it's user friendly,
right?
Because the user is the reason we're in business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
so you want to make sure they're happy.
Yes.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text: I've got a 2003 VW Golf. It works fine. I don't necessarily plan on getting a new car anytime soon, but I do keep listening to the show because y'all are interesting. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks. We appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. AutoFlex Leasing fan text: what if your car came with a 2-year state inspection? Easy deal. When your inspection is due again, when your registration is due again, your inspection will be good for as long as it's actually good for.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get an extra one. But there will come a time when your inspection will expire. You'll need to get a new inspection then before they'll register your car.
And they should know all of that electronically.
They've got it on computer.
A database.
This AutoFlex Leasing fan texter is talking about all the new safety features, and he says it's not about the skin, it's about the skeleton.
Exactly. I've said that so many times.
Have you? I love that.
That's for the car.
A brilliant way to put it. Yeah.
Describing the car. Mm-hmm. So you've got to think about that car, the inside of it being that cage around you, just like the NASCAR drivers. And, you know, they've got to be in something that'll protect them from those impacts.
And here's the other thing that I need to say. If you're out there looking for cars, and you'll find cars that are small cars that have 5-star ratings. But a smaller car will still be more vulnerable to you being injured than a great big car, because the laws of physics still apply. So what did Tammy say?
What?
Size matters.
Oh.
It does. When you're driving, it does. If you want to know, I mean, to carry it to an extreme, you're driving a terribly small subcompact and you get hit by a semi.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter how many airbags you've got.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So smaller cars inherently are more prone to injure people, or for people to be injured in, than larger cars.
Just because physics works. I don't even want to be in a suburban when I come up against a semi. I just give them a wide berth. I don't ride next to them. I don't ride too close. And I certainly never cut them off. But that's just wisdom. I mean, come on. But I had a truck driver tell me once that people do it all the time. They do not realize that they've got so much mass, and it doesn't stop on a dime like our cars.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
60,000 pounds moving 60 miles an hour, forget about it.
And that's why they keep so much headroom between them and the car in
exactly.
front of them.
Yeah.
And
because they
people
know.
Always jump in there because they
don't
see a
do
gap.
That. Yeah, don't do that.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text: downtown Dallas drivers have just stopped paying attention to red lights.
Well, yeah. There's two things wrong with that. First of all, when your light's red, it's the other guy's turn and you're cutting. Nobody likes a cutter peanut butter. And then the other thing is the safety. Because I was talking about people, not just a little bit, like you're just, when you're turning left and my light has been green for several seconds, you're not making a wise decision.
Right.
And then you're going to hear about the honking.
Do they not have those cameras anymore?
Are they not doing them as much?
They have them in some places. That's a really good, interesting thing, because there are more and more cities that are eliminating the red light cameras. And it's not because they don't like the idea that it may keep people from having a wreck. It's just that they've become less cost effective. If it starts costing them money to have the red light cameras, they close them down.
Because people stop running the light and then they're not making the money off of it, and they'll go put it somewhere else. But I like the idea that it keeps people from running the light.
Right. And it's ironic because the original reason for it was to make the city more money, remember?
Yeah, exactly. That's all the studies they did found out that it was all a profit motive. And it does work for red lights because people know it's there so they don't run it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for rear-end crashes. They have more because people lock them up suddenly.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, rather than run the red light. And then the guy behind him is texting.
Whoops.
Okay.
I wasn't paying attention. And then, yeah. I always look in the back when I do have to hit my brakes because I'm afraid somebody isn't going to be
paying
aware.
Attention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, GM won a court case this last week. Everyone that was injured or killed in an accident that could be attributed to the ignition key problem that GM had, the one where they recalled 2.6 million cars, everyone that was killed or injured before the bankruptcy will not be allowed to sue GM because the bankruptcy included protection for the new GM against anything that the old GM did. Now, you got to wonder, because GM, at the time of the bankruptcy, they were the only ones that really knew about the key problem. You got to wonder if they weren't thinking about that when they did the bankruptcy and they specifically said, we don't want any part of the old GM, no bills, no lawsuits, no nothing. And at the time, that seemed the smart thing to do. Everybody was trying to save GM, which, and it worked. It was the bailout was successful and thousands of people kept their jobs. But as a direct result now, the people that might have been injured or killed previous to their bankruptcy will not be able to sue GM and recover any damages.
Well, I don't really know how bankruptcies work, but I would figure that they would all operate the same. Nothing from the past comes forward, but I don't know. That's interesting, David.
Yeah, it is. Okay, here's the most interesting thing so far I've read in the news this week, and that is that the Toyota Mirai, which is their new hydrogen fuel cell car, run on hydrogen, will have free fuel. Toyota is paying for the hydrogen for the first people that buy the Mirai. And these cars are going to go on sale in the 2015 year in California because that's really the only place there's any hydrogen fuel stations.
The first how many people?
They haven't said.
Oh.
If you buy one, you get free gas.
First two.
Yeah. Now, one, of the reasons, one of the reasons they're doing that is when Hyundai came with their fuel cell car, they did the same thing. So Toyota's doing that, certainly to be competitive. California is an interesting place, as everyone knows. They're investing $46.6 million to accelerate the building of hydrogen fueling stations. They're talking about adding 28 new stations to the existing nine that exist now. So that's basically they're tripling the number of stations. There's another 17 sites in various stages of development, which would bring the total number to about 54. Their goal is to have 100 fueling stations available within the next 2 years.
Are those people going to get to ride for free in the HOV?
Yes, they will. Because the car produces no hydrogen fuel cell cars produce water vapor.
Zero.
That's the exhaust. There's zero pollution.
How much pollution is created in creating the
hydrogen?
The vehicle itself. The hydrogen, well, the fuel.
Vehicle's a wash because they got to make a car.
Okay.
And the hydrogen, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. That would be interesting. We have the smartest listeners in the world. I'm sure someone will tell us. I can tell you this. I've seen the Mirai, and it's a gorgeous car. It's not a huge car, but it's not a terribly small car either because a hydrogen fuel cell car doesn't weigh a whole lot. The engine is not terribly heavy, and it's not like a battery pack where you have to carry the batteries with you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You carry the hydrogen, and the little fuel cell that goes under the car goes underneath the basically where the passengers sit, and it's about half the size of a gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go; it'll fill up in 5 minutes, and you can travel about 300 miles on one fill up.
That's awesome.
Well, and that makes it superior to electricity in just a whole number of ways.
Is it really quiet like an electric car is?
It is an electric car.
Oh.
Yeah, the hydrogen fuel cells produce electricity, and they run the motors, and they run all the stuff in the car. So, and they produce water vapor. Now, here's the other thing. Carry that out. We're all driving hydrogen fuel cell cars, and now there's an environmental movement because there's too much water vapor going into the air.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by the Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or shoot us an Autoflex Leasing fan text, 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. The numbers are
either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. But don't call unless you need a car. If you don't want to go through the traditional process and you want to get a car and not have any hassles and save some money, then call one of those phone numbers. By the way, people are standing by to take your calls now.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever said that on the air. I feel so much better.
Standing by to take your
Operators
call.
Are standing by. We've got an Autoflex Leasing fan text asking if Autoflex sells or leases motorhomes.
Okay, double answer. No, we don't sell motorhomes because we're not licensed to do that. And secondly, almost no one, in fact, I don't think anyone actually leases them. You can rent them for a week or something like that. Mm-hmm. But motorhomes depreciate as fast or faster than cars do, except they cost $1 million. So when it loses 25% the first year, that's $250,000.
Yikes.
So now, if you lease that, it would be terribly expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in reference to the hydrogen car issue, what about the performance of the vehicle in a crash, especially if the fuel cell ruptured? Would it be explosive?
Well, the fuel cells in these cars they're very strong. They're cylindrical. They sit under the car, in the middle of the car, and in from the outboard rails. It's pretty unlikely that would happen. They have crash tested the cars, and they rate high on the crash test ratings, so I don't think that's an issue. But it's a good question.
It's a great question. Thanks, Ron and Waco. Let's get into a little bit of Chevy Volt talk while we're talking about electric cars.
Because, fires and explosions,
yeah,
and all that.
Because they are going to be doing some retooling on their 2016 model.
Yeah, they...
The GM Chevy Volt.
I'm sorry. The GM Chevy... I just got a text from Ben and Skin.
Oh.
The GM Chevy Volt is being redone. And here's the story, the real story behind the story. The story is they're going to retool and they're shutting down the plant. The real story is they've got a 200-day supply of these cars. Everywhere but California, they got a 200-day. In California, they got a 100-day. What's a good supply of cars for a car dealer? They don't want to have more than 60 days or so.
Oh.
So there's a lot of these cars sitting on the street, and there's really no rush to start making more. They've got the 2016 Volt coming out. It's going to have a range of 18 more miles on the charge for the battery. I don't see that as a big thing. Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see. But the Volts, given the price of gas has gone down, people aren't buying the electric cars right now just because it's terribly hard to justify the additional expense, even with the money back that you get from the government or from the state if you're in California.
Because it's kind of a pricey car.
Yeah. And while we're talking GM, they're trying to make some waves with having those Wi-Fi hotspots in your car.
That's a really interesting story, too, because everyone thought, hey, that's great. We're going to have Wi-Fi hotspots in our car. But guess what? They charge you for the data.
That's right.
They're talking about making $350 million in the first 3 years. Because every time you make a deal with a vendor of some sort, you book a hotel room or you buy a dinner online or you buy anything online, if it comes from that hotspot, GM gets cut. So it's a big profit center, by golly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure what that does because there's so many car manufacturers that are trying to integrate the phone directly into the center stack so it shows up on your nav screen and your phone is the hotspot. GM has taken it a step further and said, hey, we'll be the hotspot, but guess what? It takes an additional data plan on top of the one you're already paying for.
So are they tied in with, like, the phone companies?
Well, they will be as soon as you sign up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will it just work when the car's in park, please?
Oh.
Well, I mean, I know somebody who just wrecked their car turning the radio on recently.
Yeah, I told you guys I almost hit a car in front of me whenever I was trying to. I had the screen on my car and my gas light came on and it pops up and says, "Hey, would you like to search the nearest gas stations?" And as I was trying to hit
very
no,
cool.
Yeah, it's a great idea, but yeah. I'm trying to fiddle around with buttons to push. No, I'm good right now. And instead, I had to slam on my brakes.
Did you have to answer the car right at that moment? I'm just curious.
No, but it bothers me when I have something to do and I can't.
No,
do it.
I know. I just didn't know if it. But see, okay. I don't mean to be so negative, but
all
you
right.
know.
So here's the deal.
No point.
Great story. Great story from Hyundai this last week. Hyundai used 11 cars to write a giant message in the desert for an astronaut, and it was a note from his daughter. They live in Houston. Her name is Steph. And they used 11 cars to create a sign in the desert bigger than Central Park. In fact, bigger than 1.5 Central Parks.
Wow.
So it could actually be seen from space. And it said, "Steph hearts you." Her name's Steph,
mm-hmm.
with a big heart. And then the little apostrophe thing on the heart was a lake.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, and then the initial U. So Steph hearts you, and he could actually see it from the space station. So he took pictures of it and sent it back, and it's really, really a cool story.
Now, wait, they used the cars to spell it out, or they used the tires to spell it out?
They used the tires to spell it out, driving through the desert. They put these great big knobby tires with these cleats on the tires.
Yeah.
And then they mapped this thing out. They did it with GPS, and they used 11 cars, and they made this giant sign in the desert that said, "Steph hearts you."
Oh, that's so cool.
It is very cool.
So
yeah.
The, got a picture the message of it. Was 11 cars wide.
Right. And they ran it many times, so it wasn't like just once around. They went around and around and around to make them bigger, the letters and stuff.
Oh,
really cool. If you want to see the video, autoflex.com, like our Facebook page. It's on the Facebook.
Yeah, and it must have all connected, too.
Oh, yeah, it did. It was
okay.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Really cool. It looked great from space, the pictures he took, so that's really neat. Okay, finally, maybe it's just people from New Jersey. It seems like people from New Jersey do stuff like this, but there's a guy in New Jersey who had a rental Kia Soul, and he decided it had bed bugs. So instead of, what did Tammy say you should do?
Take it back to the rental agency and get another car.
Ding,
but
ding, ding,
no,
ding.
People in New Jersey are very, very independent, and they take care of their own problems.
Get her done kind of people.
He went online, and he found out that if you used rubbing alcohol, it might kill the bed bugs. So he got rubbing alcohol and basically soaked the seats in this rental Kia Soul that he had.
Probably and, not in the agreement.
No.
Right. The rental agreement.
Everything was still fine until he plopped down in the front seat and fired up a cigarette.
Oh.
He got first and second degree burns. He was hospitalized for a couple of days. It burned the Kia Soul to the ground along with the two cars parked on either side of it.
Oh, no.
That's a true story. Yeah. If you want to see the story and pictures of the burned up Kia Soul, go to the Facebook page, autoflex.com, like our Facebook page, and you can see this genius from New Jersey and the result.
But I think the most important question is, did he get rid of the bed bugs?
I don't think there was one single bed bug left. They couldn't really identify the car because it had melted the license plates off of it.
Oh, gosh. And then how do you take that back to the rental car company?
On a wrecker.
What a fool.
Okay, so if you're out there and you're in the market for a car, it's a great day to call Autoflex. Give us a call. Tell us what you want. We'll take care of it. We lease all makes and models. You can buy a pre-owned car. You can lease a pre-owned car. You can flex buy a pre-owned car. Or you can lease a brand new car with a brand new warranty and no money down. Give us a call. Let us show how easy it is.
Mm-hmm. He could just sweep it up and put it in an urn.
Yeah.
And take it back to the car agency.
And if you get an Autoflex car, it will be bed bug free.
Yes.
Give him a call. Cool. Did you give out the numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. And one last Autoflex leasing fan text. I thought OnStar provided the data with that package. They do in a way, but this will all be data you pay for on the new cars, the hotspots. Yep.
All right, you can also go online to autoflex.com, and we'll see you back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thanks to Snuggles, and for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from